I'm going to talk about the topic. It's cosmology from condensed matter physics. So I will mostly talk about the out of equilibrium phenomena related to cosmology and how one can apply in the context of cosmology. And I will actually comment on few more results that we have obtained, and we are doing some more calculation regarding this particular method. So we did some calculation in this paper, which is quantum out of equilibrium cosmology, which is published in this year. As well as this is another paper, which we will, this is related to the same stuff. And one more, which some result related to random matrix theory, but yeah, this kind of result also can be used in the context of cosmology as well. I will show how that can be done. Apart from that, I just want to introduce one of my group where a lot of students are working from different places, and they are associated with this work also. And yeah, these are the students. And this is the group, this quantum aspects of space, time, and matter. And the key references of this work, based on this four references, this is a very famous paper by Maldacena, who actually pointed a bound on quantum chaos. This is one paper where people tried to understand few things in the context of cosmology. And if you want to know about random matrices, this is a very good book. And like I will also talk about some applications where we need the information about Fokker-Planck. So if you want to know about the Fokker-Planck, this is also a very good book. And like I will talk about few out of equilibrium phenomena. So one of the possible physics is coming from this out of time ordered correlators. And if you don't know, and if you want to compute it for the quantum mechanics, you can actually consult this paper. It's a very good paper. And there are many more. Like if you want to understand how this physics of out of time ordered correlation applied to many places, you can consult this kind of references as well. And I will also talk about a particular phenomena called quench, where this we actually have followed this kind of references, and you can actually look into these references. And these are very old papers by Calabrese Cardi, where they have actually trying to understand this phenomena of quantum quench in the context of quantum field theories and conformal field theories. So these are a few papers by them. And last but not least, I just want to point few books which we actually have referred and studied during this calculation. And this is related to the non-equilibrium quantum field theory stuffs. And like there are many other applications in something called open systems. And I will talk about what is open system at the end of my talk. I will not talk about it right now. But yeah, these are many more books you can actually follow. Now, this is the outline of my talk. I will start with a general introduction. Then I will connect it with cosmology through some conduction wear phenomena. I will explain why this is connected. Then I will talk about the dynamical time dependence in the context of cosmology, how the couplings, time dependent coupling play important role. And in condensed matter physics, this particular phenomena can be identified through quench. And also, I will talk about the out of time ordered correlation functions that I have already mentioned in the context of QFT and also in the context of random matrix theory. And I will show how these ideas can be actually connected to cosmology somehow. And last, I will comment on this Fokker-Planck equation, and how that can be a probe to understand the cosmological correlations that I will also come in. And finally, I will conclude with future prospects. So let's start with a general introduction. Now, quantum fields in an inflationary background or during reheating gives rise to burst of particle production, which has been extensively studied in the context of cosmology. Such phenomena has been compared to the scattering problem in quantum mechanics. This is basically can be studied with a specific effective potential arising due to the impurity in the conduction well. Now, it is important to note such particle production events are completely random or chaotic when the evolution is non-adiabatic in nature. Now, this non-adiabatic change in the time-dependent coupling of the fields, which is actually coming from the path integrating out heavy degrees of freedom from the UV complete theory, which you do, any kind of UV complete theory you may have. As the background evolution of the field passes through special points in the field space, produces this burst of particle production that I'm pointing. There lies a one-to-one correspondence between such cosmological events to that of stochastic random phenomena occurring in mesoscopic systems where fluctuation in physical quantities play a significant role. For massless scalar field gets thermalized, and due to the effective time-dependent interaction, one can actually identify this thing with the particle production in the context of cosmology as well. Now you can ask me several questions. How exactly conduction where cosmology correspondence can be built? Also, you can ask me how the out of equilibrium phenomena quantify randomness. Also, you can ask me how the physics of out of equilibrium affects the cosmological correlations. And if you don't know anything about the effective interactions that time-dependent couplings in quantum field theory, then how one can able to quantify randomness? And lastly, you can ask me that in terms of statistics, interpretation of this stochastic dynamics of cosmological perturbation, particle production, how that can be done. So these are five crucial questions which I am going to understand through my study. And let's start with this particle production phenomena. It can be done in using two ways. I will do it right now for the closed systems, but this can be done for the open systems as well. So in the context of closed systems, you can identify this phenomena with many, many things which are actually connected to each other. So like I'm trying to talk about something called Lyapunov exponent, which actually measure the degrees of freedom, degree of chaoticity in the dynamical system. Also, this is actually connected to the random scattering events happening during the particle production, and how the correlation. So, in the context of this out of equilibrium physics, we try to call this correlations as the spectral form factor Y, I will mention later. But yeah, we are going to understand this part. But apart from this, if the system is interacting with the environment, and if there is a non-adiabatic interaction takes place, you can also study this kind of particle production phenomena in the open quantum system context as well. So, yeah. So let's start with this conduction where to cosmology correspondence. So in this is kind of a conduction where I have shown. And here, if you want to study the, so if you have an impurity potential like V, then you can write down something called Schrodinger equation. And similarly, in the context of cosmology, you can write down something called the fluctuation equation, where these phi k's are the modes associated with the fluctuation. M square tau is some kind of time-dependent effective mass. And the correspondence is here. Like here, the x is basically corresponding to the conformal time tau here. Potential is basically minus m square tau time-dependent mass parameter. Wave function is basically the mode function in the Fourier space in cosmology. Number of scatterers can also be identified as the number of non-adiabatic events, and so on. There are lots of other things. So here just I have shown the solution of the wave function for a given impurity potential. Here you see that this is the behavior of the wave function for that particular impurity. It's scaled with something called xi. This xi is some kind of localization length of the wave function. And similarly, in the context of cosmology, you can actually find out some solution, but where you see that sign actually changes because of this correspondence that I have mentioned earlier. But yeah, it looks similar, that I want to mean. Now, remind you what this scattering problem with impurity in conduction were. It's very well-known phenomena. Consider a single impurity localized at the position at x equal to xj. Then you can construct a left and right-handed impurity solution out of that. And if you see that, if you solve the Schrodinger equation, it looks like this, where beta can be left or right. Now, using this solution, actually you can calculate the relationship between the solution obtained in the left side and the right side through Broglie-Hopf transformation. So this can be accounted, right side thing is related to the left side. And this MJ is some kind of a transfer matrix, which actually gives you this, the entries of this matrix actually related to the Broglie-Hopf coefficients. And this TJ, RJ, Arja, this is the reflection coefficient of this localized impurity at the jth position. And TJ is the transmission coefficient of this impurity. Now, if you have n number of impurity, then what you do? You actually multiply this, all the transfer matrices from the back side, and you will get the total transfer matrix. Now, just for simplicity, let us consider n equal to 2. If you have n equal to 2, then the total total transmission probability can be written in this way, where capital T is defined, this capital T1 and capital 2 is defined as T star T mod T squared, R is mod R squared, and J for 1 and 2, because I have considered two impurities. Now, if you average over the this angle theta, then you will see that the contribution of this part actually goes away. And actually, you can write down this log T, or averaged over all theta, in a simplest manner. Now, this can be actually written as minus n times gamma, where this n is this number of scatterer or impurity present in this quantum mechanical system. And this gamma is called the Lyapunov exponent. And you can actually calculate something called localization length of the wave function. And this particular localization in condensed matter theory is called the Anderson localization. You can actually compute how much your wave is localized inside the conduction wire. Now, so this I have given how the scattering phenomena happen inside a conduction wire. Now I will connect it to the dynamical time dependence of the coupling parameter present in the theory. Like here I have shown there is something called m square tau, which is the effective mass parameter. So See, it's like a field where your mass is time dependent, and it's minimally coupled with the gravity. Now you can actually take the Fourier transform of that, and you can redefine your field. If you redefine, then you can actually write down this equation, the Fourier transform equation, in a little bit simpler form. And you can actually compute the equation of motion. And it's very easy to calculate the equation of motion. Now, if you take the this mass of the particle half, the value is much, much greater than the Hubble scale, then you can actually neglect this type of contribution, this expansion. Then it's basically nothing but d squared dt, d2 dt2 plus this factor, because you have neglected these contributions. And see, this is nothing but the old thing I am talking about, where, yeah, it's nothing but this equation. So, So this is the main thing here. But the problem is, depending on a particular mass parameter, it's important to solve this kind of equation, but which is not possible always. Because solve means I want to mean the analytical solution, obviously. So here are a few techniques people used in the context of condensed matter theory. And that technique is called quantum quench. So this quantum quench is a protocol in which one prepare a quantum system in an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian, and then have the same system evolve dynamically with time under a different Hamiltonian. And after that, the system thermalizes, and this particular phenomena is called quench. This is one example. Now consider a quantum system in its ground state, turn on the time-dependent parameter, which is gt, and wait up to the time t equal to t1. And you will see that this coupling parameter will change like that. So I want to use this transition phenomena of this coupling parameter to find out the solution of the previous equation that I have pointed. So, how that can be done? Let's understand how that can be done. So, as I have told you that the solution cannot be performed with any arbitrary time-dependent mass profile. You have to have some specific feature. So, this is kind of a feature where you can able to solve your problem, or it might be like some kind of state function where you can able to solve. So, you have some quantum system which in the pre-quenched state. Now you apply this quench protocol, and after application of this quench protocol, you will see that your system gets thermalized and you will get some possible quantum states which you actually use to study the find out the correlation in the post-quench state, as well as you also use the this information to solve the equation of motion that I have pointed earlier. So here, like in vacuum, can be written in terms of the out in this way, and here this gamma is basically the this beta alpha is the Bogoliubov coefficients, and this gamma can be defined in the ratio of that. Now you can actually write down in a little bit, you can actually decompose this factor into two parts, and you can rename this parameter, which is momentum dependent, like that. Now if you do that, then you will actually define two possible states, which is called Calabresi-Cardi, and another one is a generalized Calabresi-Cardi, which is actually taking care of the thermalization of the post-quantum quenched state. And this kappa parameter, you can actually calculate for different quenches from this relation. If you know actually the Bogoliubov coefficients, then you actually put it and you can actually calculate these states. Now you can ask me how you can calculate this Bogoliubov coefficients. This you can actually calculate from the solutions. Now the solution you can actually calculate depending on the mass profile, whether if it is exactly solvable, then it is very good. Otherwise, you can actually use different kind of approximation methods. One of the possible approximation method is WKB. You can use that and actually compute this beta alpha. And from that, you can actually identify this parameter kappa. So like for GCC, Calabresi-Cardi, and this in vacuum, these are the form of the parameter kappa people can calculate. Now, using this, if you want to calculate this psi zero, I actually want to mean the post-quenched state. If you want to calculate the two-point correlation functions, then you will see that in three dimension and four dimension, the solution can be written in the correlations can be written in this way. Though I am actually interested in the d equal to 4 because I have a plan to do cosmology out of that. So d equal to 4 is important for my purpose. And this here some parameter I have introduced r, which is basically taking care of the distance between the point x1 and x2.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so you take your you dial the mass, and then you look at the state after you've dialed the mass. And the first thing you showed us is basically, how do I write that so that it looks like a Boltzmann factor times something else? And that's what you mean by thermalization?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not necessarily a thermal distribution. That's only the case where it kappa is the same for every K, or what do you mean by thermalization?
Kappa one, you want to mean this parameter?
Yeah, I guess it just seems like on the previous slide, you're basically just writing an arbitrary state in a way that looks like a Boltzmann factor times.
Yeah.
I
think this.
Yeah, at the end, right? So psi naught equals zero in equals e to the minus some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want
arbitrary, right? This is for any coefficients I want to write down.
You can write down, but
what do you mean by thermalization then?
But the
you're just writing the state in a way that it looks like a Boltzmann factor times something else.
Like I want to mean that even whatever you have said, it is right, but here this kappa parameter is not actually. Like for different states, the states I have pointed, it's different actually. Like, and this can be actually calculated from the different mass, time-dependent mass profiles that I have pointed. Like, if you know the particular m as a function of t, then from that actually you can actually calculate. Because if you know m as a function of t, then you can actually calculate the solution. And from the solution, you can calculate the Bogoliubov coefficients. From the Bogoliubov coefficients, you can calculate the gamma. And from gamma, you can actually calculate this parameter kappa. So I want to mean that depending on the time-dependent mass profile, you can actually get thermalization. And it is not possible to get thermalization for all kind of time-dependent mass profile. But if you have certain specific featured in the mass profile, one of the possibilities, if you have some quasi-static change at around t equal to zero, suppose, or maybe if it is a stiff function. So then you can actually calculate it. And
but what do you mean by, so I write my state like this, what does it mean for this to be thermal? Because I can write any state like this. So does every mass change count as thermalization, or is there some specific form, like CC means it's thermalized, but GCC means it's not? I guess I just don't understand what we mean by something having a thermal distribution in this context.
Okay, I will just skip right now. I will just
sure.
address this question a little bit later, because I have to think. So next, you can actually calculate this other correlators, which is like time derivative of the phi, as well as and also like if you actually calculate with respect to the state I have introduced GCC, from there actually you also calculate. And for this in state, you can also calculate the two-point function. So these are the profiles I want to use for this kind of calculation. And this is the effective mass, and the corresponding impurity potential looks like this. And here for particular one example, if you want to calculate the solution, you can actually calculate it in terms of some in modes and out. And from that, actually, you can calculate the Bogoliubov of coefficients, alphas and betas that I have pointed. And from these alphas, betas, you can actually calculate the states that I have pointed earlier. Also, apart from that, you can actually calculate some optical properties, chaotic property, and the conduction property of the electrical conduction wire, if you say that it's electrical wire. Then it can be related to through the this Bogoliubov coefficient like that. And these are the some behavior with respect to the momentum modes. Now, I will talk about something different, which is called the out-of-time-ordered correlations. An out-of-time-ordered correlation is actually defined like that. Here, basically, T and T prime is not written in a time-ordered form. It's proposed by these two people in 1968. And I just want to point that it is not actually a time-ordered correlator that we people used to write like that, where like either T1 is greater than or equal to T2, it's like that, or maybe some like the opposite thing. So what it actually is? So this can actually be calculated like using the Schwinger-Keldysh path integral formalism, and like if you have some operator O, you want to calculate OT, OT prime, OT and OT prime like that, then actually you can using this contour, you can actually write down, consider your operator in the this right contour side as well as the left contour side. So this I have actually drawn the picture. If you want to calculate this correlation function from this picture at zero temperature, but in the case of finite temperature, you have to actually do a little bit more. You have to introduce some additional parameter beta naught, which you would use to calculate this path integral. And from that, you can actually compute this correlation function using Schwinger-Keldysh. Now, why this out-of-time-ordered correlators? So these actually people used in different contexts. That paper I have pointed, Maldacena, Stephen Schenker, and Stanford, they pointed that the Lyapunov exponent, which actually measured the chaoticity of the system, and for that kind of system, they have shown that the upper bound is 2 pi by beta, where beta is 1 by t. And this actually a test for black hole horizon, they have pointed. Also, this can be treated as a probe of quantum chaos, like pointed here. And also like thermalization phenomena and typical like transport phenomena, quantum dynamics. And this is my main area of study. I just want to point that this can also be connected through to cosmology, maybe in the phase of reheating, where systems, the quantum system you are considering is not in equilibrium. So, yeah. So, in non-equilibrium physics, out of time ordered correlator is actually defined as the thermal average of the square of the commutator, where W and V are separated by a time scale. And the time difference is suppose t or tau, whatever, and this can be written as this 1 by partition function trace of this, and this is for Hermitian W and V. If it is not Hermitian, then you can actually write down this thing in a little bit different way, but yeah, almost same. Z is the partition function, and this xt, like WT or XT, whatever. This can be written in a Heisenberg picture. And this beta is 1 by T. And I have set the Boltzmann constant to be 1. And this H is the Hamiltonian of the system that you are interested in. You can also write down this thing in terms of the density matrices, where this thermal density matrix is 1 by Z to the power minus beta H. Now, this OTOC actually captures the effect of perturbation by a operator V0 on the later time measurement on the operator W tau. And the two-point function, so you can ask me why I haven't used just only a commutator, or maybe why I haven't written this OTOC in terms of a three-point function, or maybe some odd point function. So two-point function is not allowed because it decays with time, and it decays very fast. So we don't consider this kind of observable. Three-point function can be said to be zero using the Kubo-Martin-Schwinger condition, which is basically tells you the time translational symmetry, and using that you can actually set this three-point function to be zero. And similarly, you can show that all odd point functions vanish using KMS. So the first good estimator is the four-point function, which is basically the square of the commutator. And any even point, like 6, 8, and all, you can actually consider. Now, just if you take the n equal to 2, and you can actually open this commutator bracket, you can actually write down in this way. Now, if you wait for a long time, then you can actually write, and this time scale, we call it the dissipation time scale. We will see that you can actually simplify this four-point functions a bit, and normalize this correlation function in this way. So it's just nothing but the same thing, but we have defined in a little bit simpler way, provided we have taken this dissipation time scale limit. For chaotic systems, you can actually see that the behavior of this normalized OTOC actually looks like this. And you will see that this, you can actually calculate this lambda L, which is the Lyapunov exponent. And this Lyapunov exponent, I have told you, is bounded by 2 pi by beta. And if you use this fact, then you can actually constrain this particular factor, which has to be less than 1 by n square e to the power 2 pi t by beta. And this is true for chaotic, any kind of chaotic OTOC. But yeah, if your system is not chaotic, then also you can actually calculate OTOC. But for chaotic, the feature has to be like e to the power some factor times t, and that factor actually taking care of the Lyapunov exponent, the degree of chaoticity. So this is the old paper that I have told that these guys have pointed how to compute OTOC for some kind of superconducting system. I'm not going to this, but yeah, I'm just pointing out this is the very old paper they have actually first pointed. Then Like using this OTOC, you can actually study a few semi-classical limits. At very early time scale, if you consider two operators like X and Y like that, then you can actually calculate the normalized OTOC is this. And you can actually calculate the semi-classical limit, which is basically the Poisson bracket. And from this, you can actually calculate that how how this correlation function actually scales, decays with time. So this time scale is computed as 1 by lambda log times AB, where these A and B factors are appearing here. And like if you have like n number of degrees of freedom present in the system, then it actually scales with log n by lambda L. I will not talk about this because this is, I just want to point this. This is a very well-known example. This is nothing to do with cosmology, but this is like for last 3-4 years, this is very well-studied model, SYK, where the Hamiltonian can be written in terms of few Majorana fermions. And this is a random coupling. And this is the two-point function of this random coupling. This one-point function is zero. And these Majorana fermions are defined with chi I, chi j. Anti-commutator is delta ij. So from this kind of system, you can actually calculate this four-point function. Similarly, like that I have pointed here. And people have pointed that this kind of system is maximally chaotic, and it follows the behavior that I have pointed, some constant minus some factor times e to the power 2 pi t by beta. And yeah, like if you just normalize this thing, you can actually write in a little bit better form. So these people actually computed this thing in the context of holography and pointed that this is like this kind of system is basically a maximally chaotic system. I will not talk about it. Yeah. So for harmonic oscillator, why I'm giving harmonic oscillator? Because if you just neglect the time dependence of the evolution equation that I have pointed, it basically an equation of motion of a harmonic oscillator. So for the simplest case, for harmonic oscillator, if you calculate, then you can, like for classically, if you use the Poisson bracket, and for semi-classical case, if you calculate with this square of the commutator, then you will see that for both the cases, the result will be cos square omega t. But like in the case of cosmology, only the difference appears because the frequency is basically time dependent. And due to this fact, in this case, you have to calculate this type of correlators, like phi t pi, the canonically conjugate momenta, phi phi or pi pi, or in terms of some gauge invariant variables like zeta and associated momentum pi, you can also calculate the similar thing. And this is kind of one of the probes we can calculate in the context of cosmology. To understand the correlations during reheating. And I want to point that during reheating, we actually don't talk about too much about the correlation functions. So this is kind of one calculation people do in this context, which is a kind of a new calculation. Yeah, but it is borrowed from, the technique is borrowed from the condensed matter theory. Yeah, but this can be used. So I'm not pointing the result how to calculate this kind of correlation function because I'm doing this calculation right now. And so I will point this calculation very soon in this work, which I will post in archive very soon. And this is the next one where you don't know anything about the interaction, that means the impurity potential, and you don't know how to write down the Lagrangian properly. So in that case, you can actually consider few various statistical ensembles. And in that kind of statistical ensembles, if the Hamiltonian is time reversal symmetric, then the required distribution will be invariant under orthogonal transformation, else it is invariant under unitary transformation. And in the large n limit, which is we call the thermodynamic limit, eigenvalue of the density of the random matrices showed universal behavior, and it is characterized by something called Wigner's semicircle rho. And these results seem to be applicable in varied class of quantum systems. And like in general, you can write down this Wigner Dyson type distribution for these eigenvalues. And here this gamma parameter, 1 for Gaussian orthogonal, and 2 for unitary, and 4 for symplectic. So this is the identification people use in the literature. So, so this Wigner Dyson type statistical ensembles are three kinds, or GOE, GUE, and GSE, which has this kind of properties. And now the joint probability distribution for such random matrix can be written in this way. Here you see that this M is the random matrix I'm talking about. And this is, if you transform this M under some unitary similarity transformation, then you will see that under this transformation, this P will be invariant. It might be orthogonal or unitary, maybe depending on this, whether this is a Gaussian orthogonal or Gaussian unitary or symplectic, whatever. And here N actually represents the rank of the random matrix M. Apart from that, there are few more statistical ensembles which call circular orthogonal, circular unitary, and circular symplectic. And for this kind of system, if you know like partition function, then from that you can calculate everything. But for this partition function, you actually need to understand what this the distribution of the random matrices. So for this, to understand this distribution of the random matrices, you can actually write down the measure dm in terms of the eigenvalues, and this lambdas are the like the eigenvalues of this random matrix M, multiplied with a factor which is coming from the Haar measure. Now, this particular integral measure can be can be categorized into two families. One is the Wigner Dyson that I have pointed. Another one is the Atlan Zinnenbauer ensemble. And for both the cases, you can actually write down DM in a different way. So using this information, you can actually write down your partition function. And from this partition function, you can actually, using the saddle point technique, you can actually calculate the distribution of the random matrices for any kind of general ensemble. Here, N is some kind of representing the degree of the polynomial, which may be anything. And see here, it involves few arbitrary coefficients, A's. Now these A's can be calculated using the method of resolvent, which we usually calculate in the which we actually use in the context of complex analysis, and for this particularly in the context of holomorphic function. And using this, you can actually fix this coefficients A, and that will actually tells you finally that what the random distribution is. So here are a few papers I'm pointing which are very useful. People have written recently to understand about this ensembles, and it's some application in the context of gravity. And this is some old like review if you want to understand more about random matrices. This is also a book. And yeah, so like I'm just giving these references for if you want to study more regarding this random matrices, then it would be a very nice option. Now, using this, you can actually define two-point function. And this two-point function, you can actually calculate for, I am using particularly unitary ensemble, Gaussian unitary, because it is very simple. So this for unitary ensemble, this two-point functions can be written in terms of something called spectral form factor. And this spectral form factor, so our aim is to actually determine the spectral form factor for different cosmological problems, time-dependent, in presence of time-dependent couplings. Similarly, you can also calculate the four-point function. And here you also see that I have generalized the result, which is like any two-point Gaussian unitary ensemble out of time ordered correlation function for can be written in this way, where you need to know about this spectral form factor. And like one can show that this, if you take the average over this correlations, then you can actually see that this averaged out of time ordered correlation is actually proportional to this two-point spectral form factors. So the other factors will actually goes after taking the average. And so I will just... So like, now you can ask me how to calculate this spectral form factor. So spectral form factor can be calculated from this two-point functions. So this two-point function is written in terms of the disconnected and connected part. So disconnected part can be written in this way for the Gaussian unitary. And you can also calculate the connected part. And I have taken this distribution that I have pointed earlier. And you can calculate each of the part for Gaussian unitary. And finally, you will get, I'm just showing the final result. So finally, you will get something called this kind of contribution added with some other part that I have written in the previous slide. Now, I have taken one example. So if you have this kind of random potential, which is like m square plus m to the power 4, for that, the random distribution looks like this. And here, you can actually calculate this spectral form factor, time-dependent spectral form factor. And these are the behavior. This is the behavior of this two-point function at very early time. And at late time, it will saturate to a particular value. And we found that this saturation value is basically 1 by pi n. And also the lower bound is minus 1 by n, minus 1 by 1 minus pi. So we found that spectral form factor is bounded between these two values, the lower bound and the upper bound, for any values of beta lying from 0 to infinity. And the last thing I have to point, the last thing is it's basically the probabilistic measure I want to comment on that. So here the particle, like the probability density for particle position of Brownian motion in a random system can be expressed in this way. Now, for any kind of Markov process, you can write down this equation in a little bit simpler way. If you just like consider particularly the time derivative of this kind of probability distribution, then you can actually write down the in a kind of a Taylor expansion form. It looks like this. And from that, if you apply the maximum entropy ansatz, then you can actually get rid of some some additional factors involved in this expansion, and you will see that this probability at of getting n number of particles between tau and tau plus d tau is basically the average probability distribution of getting n plus delta n number of particles within the interval d tau. Now, if you use this fact and expand both the side in Taylor series and equate the coefficients of delta tau and delta tau square and all, you will get something called some evolution equation. And this evolution equation is called the Fokker-Planck equation. And from that, actually, you can actually calculate this probability distribution. You can check that what kind of probability distribution your particle production process follow. So if you just consider equate the coefficients of delta tau, you will see that the solution looks like that, which is pretty looks like Gaussian. And if you consider the higher order terms like the delta tau square and delta tau cube, it have some very complicated solutions. I'm not going to that. But if you add them all and get something like corrected distribution, you will see that it looks like Gaussian, but there are small fluctuation involved in this probability distribution profile. And it's basically telling you the fact that the non-Gaussianity involved in this NKT, NKT prime, NKT double triple prime. NK is basically the particle production rate at particular momentum K. So if you calculate the three-point function, the non-Gaussianity involved in this kind of thing is larger compared to the primordial non-Gaussianity that we actually calculate in zeta KT, zeta KT prime, and zeta KT double prime. So that's the information you can actually extract. So I want to mean that the particle production actually enhances the amount of non-Gaussianity a bit compared to the primordial non-Gaussianity. And from this, you can actually also calculate the stat moments, the first order, second order, and third order moments to check whether how much non-Gaussianity is involved in this kind of calculations. And if you put that, then you can actually, if you use the corrected Fokker-Planck equations, then you can actually calculate these moments, expectation value of n, expectation value of n squared, and so on. And you will see that the variance and skewness and the kurtosis can be written in this, can be computed in this way, where you see that if for large time the amount of non-Gaussianity is actually increasing for this kind of system here, and where we actually basically set this parameter mu, which is appearing in the probability distribution as unity, and maybe you can get some other solutions for different parameters. And I will just finish, it's like almost finished my talk. So there are two formalism, one is called Itô and another one is a Stratonovich. Both of them are used to understand this kind of probability distributions. This Itô and Stratonovich, both of them gives you the similar type of solutions, which is like a peak and then it decays with time. And this is basically done at zero temperature. This is the same thing because I have written the same thing in a more generalized form. But at finite temperature, you can actually calculate the Fokker-Planck equation as well. And for a given profile, if you have some effective distribution, which is like we have taken the Gaussian distribution n squared, then you can actually see the profile with at finite temperature is not exactly like peak and then there is a decay, you have some certain kind of features depending on the temperature. So yeah, so we have certain kind of features which shows like, yeah, like this is like at finite temperature, you can you surely get some deviation of non-Gaussianities, and which is not very small actually. Now conclusions, and yeah, so I conclude with the fact that I have actually tried to connect this particle production in cosmology with a conduction phenomena in electrical wear with an impurity. I have actually tried to show that how this can be done with a random matrix theory where you don't know anything about the interaction. And if you know the interaction, then how you can solve this kind of problem in the context of quantum field theory, that I have also shown. Apart from that, I have actually pointed that how you study the dynamics of this particle creation and understand the probability distribution of the particle creation in terms of solving the Fokker-Planck equation. And this kind of bound we got, which is the two-point function in random systems with a time-dependent mass parameter, where we got the two-point function for this out-of-time-ordered system lies between these two values. And we actually tried to see that if we introduce the higher order corrections in the Fokker-Planck equation, how that will change the probability distribution, whether it is pointing towards large non-Gaussianity or not. And there are a few future prospects you can do. So that I have already shown that I'm trying to compute OTOC in DCTER. And you can also study, because this is a very hot topic in black hole physics right now as well. And application of this out of equilibrium physics in the context of quantum entanglement, and how this is connected with cosmology in the early universe particularly, you can also study. And this is also very not well understood. I want to study more this Quench and eigenstate thermalization. And last one is the open system that I have pointed in my first slide. And this few works we did recently on the same direction for the open system. And we are trying to understand how this kind of out of equilibrium behavior can be used in the context of open, specific kind of open quantum system. We have used some two-body systems, and we are trying to understand whether this can be suitable thing to study in the context of cosmology or not. And towards this quantum information thing, like quantum entanglement, we have written few more works earlier on the same direction, where we have studied the Bell's inequality violation in the context of primordial cosmology. And like quantum entanglement with some specific axionic type theories. These two works. Thank you.
Questions? Ask. I didn't quite follow it. What do you hope to learn about De Sitter by calculating this out of time ordered correlator there?
Yeah, so if I want to calculate in the epoch of reheating, so it's not exactly De Sitter. The scale factor is something a little bit different. But yeah, I want to study the out of time ordered correlations, particularly during the epoch of reheating.
You would get what? So you would calculate them, and then what would you infer from it?
No, I from this I want to study that how the correlation functions behave with the time, and that actually connected to so I have shown three different things actually here. First one is basically trying to understand the correlation functions if you know the particularly the time-dependent couplings, and then you can actually how you can study those kind of systems. Second, I have shown that if you don't know the time-dependent coupling, then how you can use random matrix theory to understand this kind of correlations. Third, I have shown that like if you just don't go with this thing, if you just are trying to understand that how much particle production happen and what kind of probabilistic behavior it follows during the evolution of the time scale, and how that can be like it will enhance the non-Gaussianity or not, that I have studied. So these are three different things that I have studied here. So not particularly whatever you are pointing, that particularly D-sitter space I don't want to study like that, but yeah, I am trying to understand, like mostly we study the cosmological correlations like during inflation or maybe up to the scale of CMB or maybe some later scale like large scale structure or something like that, but we don't talk about mostly about the reheating. That phase is something missing. And like, I want to understand what exactly a quantum phenomena happening during this particular epoch. So it's my belief that out of equilibrium physics plays significant role, because particularly that phase is, particularly at that time, physics is going out of equilibrium. So like, I'm like borrowing few tools from condensed matter to calculate how to quantify these quantum correlations during this epoch. So I can't say more right now because I'm calculating those things, but I'm very hopeful that that can be actually connected to something which you can measure in different probes in future. So I can give you that kind of future direction. But as far as right now, this is kind of a theoretical calculation, obviously, because I am not actually I haven't connected through any kind of observational probe, but I'm very hopeful that this kind of calculation is important and have to be done, because it is not yet done in this particular literature. Yeah.
So how would we determine through observation whether this is actually connected to real physics?
Obviously, so you are very right that like whatever I'm computing here, that has to be some observational significance, otherwise I can't comment that that can be measured or something like that. But yeah, like as I have pointed, like if you so like once we do the calculation for inflation and all, we try to connect it with something called CMB physics. And there are various probes, we know Planck, WMAP, these, that, people use and have commented that whether the non-Gaussianities observed in CMB maps, small or large, whatever. Here, the thing is, this correlation functions that I'm talking about, some way, because see, this people used to say like that if you have some kind of seed in the early universe, that will grow with time and you get the large scale structure. So I want to mean that even if reheating is in between, that also connected with this seed, the early universe seed. So I want to point that this kind of out of time ordered correlation functions somehow can be written in terms of the correlation function that we actually try to probe in CMB or some other observational probes.
Making that connection is still a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not very easy. It's not very easy. I'm hopeful to connect, because there has to be some connection. But yeah, how that can be done, I don't know. I'm trying to understand that part.
Maybe since we're a little over, maybe we can continue afterwards.
Okay, great.